Thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings from Faith Radio. Good morning, everyone. Today is the 24th of September, and welcome to Faith Radio Mornings, where we're going to talk about the important news and topics of the day with multiple voices, different angles, but all from a Christian perspective. And we'll do so with honesty and a genuine faith and with the real hope that only comes because that tomb is empty and we serve the living King of the only kingdom that knows no end. I hope as you're grabbing your coffee this morning, as you're heading off to work, as you're getting the kids to school, if you're just sitting down with the newspaper in front of you as well, that this program can be part of the hope that you carry with you as you start your day. I'm your host for the show, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined in studio by Logan Rausch. We have ongoing conversations all morning, even about the news that we're hearing from people, like the great guests we had on first hour of Adam Carrington and Brandon Showalter. And he just does a great job of keeping the sound moving and everything moving smoothly as well as Paul Perot, who brings all of the news to our attention here in the mornings. And of course, we love hearing from you in the program, and I've heard from you already this morning through texts and phone calls. So please, if you have a comment or a question or a thought you want to share, you can call us at 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH. And excited for our next guest here, who's already on the line. It's Nicole J. Phillips, who regularly joins me on Faith Radio Mornings to talk about things from the perspective of kindness. Nicole has been doing a lot of work just encouraging us through real stories from real people who really are kind and the importance of kindness in our lives. I'm going to ask Nicole, just in her perspective, she was a news anchor in Madison and Milwaukee and Fargo. Has the news shifted so much, and really is there this distinct lack of kindness going on compared to even maybe 10, 15 years ago? So we'll talk with Nicole next about that. And then in the second half of this hour, Dr. David Aikman will join us from Ireland. He is our foreign affairs correspondent that joins me weekly on Monday, and he just does a great job having covered the news for over 20 years from Time Magazine, walking through all the complicated global news items. But before getting to Nicole and Dr. Aikman, you know, if you've been listening this morning, that we've been reading a quote from the great theologian Charles Spurgeon, who, as I'm thinking about my own anxiety that frankly I sometimes even wake up with as I'm thinking through the news and what's going on with our kids and what's going on with our country, Spurgeon says this about anxiety. He says that anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It doesn't mean things aren't going to be rough, but what anxiety does do is it empties today of its strength. So anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, but only empties today of its strength. And so I don't know how you process your own sort of moving forward in the day and anxiety, but Spurgeon invites us, I think, into those beautiful words of Jesus then when he says, "Come all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." It's the kind of perspective we want to bring every morning to you as listeners from around our 15 affiliates in this country, that we keep looking at this from a Christian perspective, knowing we really are part of a kingdom that knows no end. We're excited to be joined by Nicole J. Phillips next, and we'll talk about the kindness of the kingdom and bring it to bear on our lives and on the news, and we'll do that next on Faith Radio Mornings. Well, that's some uplifting music this morning and the troubling headlines of the day. That means that Nicole J. Phillips is going to be joining me to talk about the importance of kindness and bringing it to bear on our lives and the news. Good morning, Nicole.
Good morning. How are you today?
Well, I feel better now having listened to the music. I got to admit, Nicole, I kind of walked in this morning and sort of shaking my head a little bit, given if I even just go on the news for a moment, I begin to sort of shake my head and wonder, oh my gosh, where are we headed as a country, as a society? And then you bring the song in and the kindness in, so really appreciate that.
Mm-hmm. It's all a matter of perspective, my friend.
Well, yeah, I know
Yeah, go on.
I just gonna say, I know you've covered the news. You were a news anchor in Milwaukee and in Madison and Fargo as well. And Logan, my producer, was talking off air with me, and he said, you know, has it always been like this? And so I wonder, Nicole, if you can give us some perspective. When you were in journalism and covering the news as a news anchor, was there such a distinct lack of kindness at that time?
Well, I guess I would say yes. And I think that it feels a little heavier now because politically we're so divided. And I think also because the news has gotten so much more accessible, even in the last 10 years. You know, when I started, if people wanted to complain about the color lipstick I was wearing on the news, they had to call the news station. And now, you know, you can just hop on Facebook and make a comment, or you can hop on Facebook and see, you know, 40 different angles that will explain to you the recent news story and how terrible it is. So it really, when I say it's a matter of perspective, it really is, because in that same 10 years that social media and technology have opened up all of these angles of bad news, there is an underground of people who have started really researching and studying kindness and really have been actively working and promoting it. You know, I'm no kindness expert. I'm a kindness advocate. And, you know, I don't know everything there is to know about kindness, but I know I'm going to keep talking about it until I draw my last breath, because I feel like that's what God's called me to do. So it is a matter, I think, of saying, okay, how much am I allowing this to come into my life? So, like, Peter, let me ask you this. When you, like, think about your day, what do you think about the most during your day?
Well, I want to say kindness right now, Nicole, but that seems like it would be the right answer, quote unquote, not the real one. You know, I think mostly it is trying to just navigate the day and the immediate 15 seconds in front of me. And I'm hardly ever thinking about, gosh, how can I wake up in the morning and really be kind to other people?
Exactly. So that's you and every other person on the face of the earth. It's like we fill our brains with hurry, worry, and jury. You know, the hurry is like, okay, what's my next 15 seconds? Like you said, the worry is the, oh my gosh, are my kids going to be okay today? And the jury is making ourselves judge and jury over what everybody else is doing, and even over ourselves, and just not cutting ourselves slack and a break for maybe not being kind. And that's really important to spend today thinking about, what am I thinking about? You know, you had that quote from Charles, and it was all about anxiety. And I think that when you feel that kind of come up through your heart and through your lungs, you have to stop and think, what am I thinking about right in this moment? And is it positive? And is it adding light to this world? Or am I stuck on a hamster wheel?
Well, and I think to your point too, Nicole, on that, to get some perspective on that, it's not only Charles Spurgeon, but I love this quote from Winnie the Pooh, of all people. But Pooh really does have quite a bit of ancient wisdom in him from time to time. And he says this about worry and anxiety and the future. He says, "Yesterday, when it was tomorrow, it was too much day for me." And I think about that in terms of worrying about tomorrow, right? Do what's in front of you. See the people in front of you. I know that's what you advocate for, is just being able to be present into the situation and think, how can I be present to these people that are right in front of me today?
That's exactly right. Yeah. And for people who are in their cars listening to you right now and they're thinking, okay, I've already messed it up. I've already had a fight with my kids. I've already, like, you know, glared at my husband, like, oh, God gives us such grace for that, doesn't he? And we don't have to sit and worry about the fact that that happened. We can move forward and say, okay, what's the next right thing I can do today?
I know, Nicole, you talk about that's a process, and it's a little bit of almost a habit-building kind of reality, is that the more that you can do that, it really does begin to change some of the brain patterns, and it changes the way we see one another, to just say, you know what, yeah, maybe I blew it back then and I was kind of a zoo in that situation, but I really do have more opportunities in front of me.
Exactly. There's some great research. I believe it's out of Germany, but it's it talks about how the way you react to something today forms the brain pattern for how you're going to react to it tomorrow. So if you wake up every morning with your kids and there's constantly screaming about, you know, finish your cereal, put your dish in the dishwasher, and that's what your everyday looks like, well, then that's how your brain is going to naturally expect to act tomorrow. So, you know, maybe at that point you sit down and have a family meeting and say, okay, what can we do to make tomorrow better and different than today? And when everyone's calm, you talk about that, and then you move forth with that. And eventually your brain has created a new pathway so that it becomes foreign to wake up to negativity. It becomes foreign to have your first response be kind of a stomping, yelling sort of parenting style.
You're killing
Although
me.
You have five kids, so.
I know, and I'm just going to say you're killing me because our dishwasher actually did go out yesterday, and with five kids, we're constantly using plates. And I got to say, I didn't look at the dishwasher in the sink this morning with any degree of positivity, Nicole. So how do I shift that in the situation? What can I do as a parent to maybe see that differently?
First of all, go buy some paper plates. I know it's not great for the environment, but every once in a while, you got to cut yourself some slack.
I love it. It's Nicole J. Phillips. So, you know, you write about this often. Tell our listeners where they can go on the website where you write about some of these stories. And we come back from break. I would love to have you get into some of the stories of kindness that you write about. But where can our listeners go if they want to see more of your work?
Braveandkind.net.
I love it. Braveandkind.net. That's Nicole J. Phillips. Nicole, when we come back, I'd love to have you ready with a story of kindness, maybe one from under the book that you recently released. So more to come here on Faith Radio Mornings. It's about 18 minutes past the hour here on Faith Radio Mornings. I'm Dr. Peter Kapsner, thrilled to be joined on the line by Nicole J. Phillips, who writes often about kindness as a kindness champion in our country. Really appreciate her perspective and her voice in the midst of so many troubling headlines today that there really can be a different way of life. And Nicole, during the break, you had asked the question in the first segment about what do I think about immediately in the day. And Logan's answer to that question, my producer here, he said food. Now, he's 22 years old, Nicole, and he's always on the hunt for food. For me right now, as I'm eating food, I'm mostly hoping it doesn't make me all bloaty. But Logan is actually like for food. So we need some help for somebody like Logan here. Like, what could he be thinking about? Do you have an inspirational story about kindness that's come from your book?
Well, I'll tell you what, Logan, I have a story about food for you. How about that?
That sounds outstanding. Let's have it.
Okay, so there's a 12-year-old boy that goes to school with my son, and they're very close. They're very good friends. For sixth grade graduation, we don't celebrate sixth grade graduation because we believe our children should graduate from sixth grade. But this little boy, who's friends with my son, got a $25 cash gift. Now, this is a big deal because this little boy, his mom is in prison. He doesn't know his dad. He lives with his grandma. And there is never, and I do mean never, any money for extras in their household. It's a struggle to keep the heat on. It's a struggle to keep the hot water going. So he doesn't know luxuries like that from his grandmother. So it was a family friend who gave him $25. So this little boy was so excited. He was going to go to Walmart with his windfall and pick out something fun, some baseball cards or some sort of Nerf gun or something. And they were driving into Walmart, there was a homeless family that was sitting there, a mom and a dad and a couple of kids. And this little boy, his name is Marcus. Marcus walked into Walmart and he started walking through the aisles, kind of looking at all the toys and the things. And you know, he paused because he couldn't get this family out of his head. And so his grandmother had just dropped him off, and she ran and was filling up the gas tank. And so this little boy, Marcus, was walking around Walmart. And he walks over to the deli counter, the hot deli, and he orders a chicken dinner. And he goes up to the cash register, and he pays for the chicken dinner. Then he walks outside to this homeless family. He hands them the dinner silently and turns around and walks back into Walmart. And I think about the courage of that kid, that he not only had to talk to an adult at the deli counter, and then he had to, you know, talk to an adult as he was going through the cash register, and then to walk across that parking lot and hand over that food. So I asked him about it, and I said, why did you give them food? And he said, well, I didn't want to just give them money because I wanted to make sure that I knew what that money was going to be spent on. And this is from a boy whose mother is in prison because of drug use. So he's seen a lot of the underbelly of life. And it was interesting because I put that in my weekly newspaper column. It runs in North Dakota and Minnesota. And I put that in there. And, you know, about a week later, I got a card at my house from someone anonymously. And it was addressed to Marcus. And in it, it just said, you know, Marcus, my favorite story that Nicole's ever written was reading about you and the chicken you gave to the homeless family. You're going to do big things with your life, Marcus. And he went on to say, I believe in you, and I know God has great plans, and I hope you'll buy this, you'll use this gift I'm sending to buy some ice cream. Well, inside that card was a $50 bill. And the interesting thing was that the day after Marcus was at Walmart, his grandma's house burned down.
Ugh.
And Marcus was living with us. And there's no way this anonymous donor would have known that Marcus was living with us. How he knew that I would be able to find Marcus, you know, and give him this money just because our boys were friends, was kind of miraculous. So Marcus was sitting in my house when I got that letter, and I handed it to him, and I got to watch his face as he read those words from this complete stranger. And his face just transformed from like trepidation and curiosity to one of complete awe. And he wasn't in awe over the $50 bill. He was in awe over the words of encouragement. And so, you know, the first story in my book talks about the boy who serves kindness with a side of chicken. And the second story talks about there being a Marcus in your life. Because you can choose to focus on all of the things happening in Washington, D.C. You can choose to focus on the bad news that you're seeing, or you can choose to see the people in front of you, young or old, who need to see you. They need to know that you're seen by them. They need to know that they're not invisible and that they matter. And that can happen with the $50 bill, or it can happen simply with a word of encouragement. And so we all have a Marcus in our life that we can give that to. We just have to be willing to see them today.
Now, Nicole, Logan and I are trying to hold back tears in the studio right now. I'm hardly ever at a loss for words, but what a story. The impact that would make on so many different people, not the least of which, of course, is Marcus, right? I know that in the church I was in yesterday, mm-hmm. the pastor was giving a sermon and about a story about a young person with their mother who recently passed away from cancer, and just this really poignant moment that this young person had with their mother at a very early age, it marked the entire rest of their life. And this is the kind of thing when these kindness stories happen, I've got to believe Marcus's life is going to be marked from this point moving forward as something he can look back on as being just this incredible expression of the kingdom.
That's right. That's right. And you know, it was interesting to me because the guy didn't say, you know, if you don't follow Jesus, you should follow Jesus. You know, he simply said, you know, God has a plan for your life, and this is pretty cool, you know? And so he allowed Marcus to know that, you know, when he said, I believe in you and I know God has great plans, he allowed Marcus to know that, Marcus, you're not in this alone. Like, there's a big God, and he sees you. And to me, that's the way we show people the kingdom.
That's Nicole J. Phillips writing about kindness and talking to us about being kind. And you can go to what's the website again? I know that the tag is Be Brave, Be Kind, Be You. And Nicole, where can readers go to see more of your work?
Braveandkind.net.
I love it. We have just a couple minutes left, Nicole. Are these some simple things that we as parents can encourage our kids as we're trying to obviously get them through school, build their resumes with soccer programs or chess clubs or academic kinds of work or instrument? How important is it to actually build the spiritual resume and encourage our kids to enter into some kindness expressions like this?
Yeah, I think it's essential. And really what's essential when they're kids is getting them to move their perspective from the negative to the positive so that they are noticing the silver lining. So every day I ask my kids three questions. What was your glad today? What happened today that made you happy? What was your sad today? And if they don't have a sad, that's fine. But you have to come up with the glad. And then the third question I ask is, what was your act of kindness that you either did or you saw? And they have to give me one of those two, because even if it's just that the lunch lady showed up and served us lunch today, somebody did something to help you today.
I love the tips, Nicole. I appreciate you coming on the program and just talking about kindness and being such an advocate for it, as you mentioned. I know it's a journey for all of us to become more kind in our lives, but boy, to keep us in front of us, this is really a profound way in which we can express one of the fruits of the Spirit and really shine light in the world.
Yeah, remind me sometime to tell you about how I don't always get it right, okay?
Absolutely. Next week we'll have you on and we'll get into all the nitty-gritty of it, Nicole. That sounds great, but thanks for joining us this morning. I love it.
Have a great one, Peter. Bye.
Bye. We'll take a break here for Breakpoint and Bottom of the Hour News. And when we come back for the second half of this hour, we'll be joined by Dr. David Aikman, who writes about the news from a global perspective and a Christian perspective. He just has such wisdom and insight in history, and looking forward to conversations with Aikman. So more to come on Faith Radio Mornings. We're just talking in studio here about how appreciative we are of Nicole J. Phillips coming on in the midst of some difficult headlines that seem to be spinning out of control over the weekend. To have her come and talk about kindness and talk about there really is a different way in which we can live. So grateful for her voice and grateful that we can be inspired in that way. You know, some interesting news coming out of Indonesia that's also uplifting is that an Indonesian teenager who was working on a floating fish trap 80 miles off the country's coast ended up getting disconnected from all of his lifelines of survival, and he survived 49 days adrift in the Pacific Ocean with only a Bible, limited rations, and a small radio. He actually drank seawater that he was filtering through his clothes in order to survive, and he said that he consulted the Bible when he grew desperate. What a great story out of Indonesia, and much more headlines to come just like that from Dr. David Aikman out of Ireland coming up next here on Faith Radio Mornings. Last Friday on Faith Radio Mornings, I was joined by regular contributor Gary Stratton, who is a professor of worldview and perspective from Johnson University. And he was talking about how grateful he is that God doesn't turn away from us when we mess up.
I think it was James Brian Smith got this metaphor to me that he said he felt like God was on a swivel chair, that when he was acting correctly, God swiveled towards him, and when he did anything wrong, God swiveled away from him. And in reality, in Scripture, it's the exact opposite. I mean, God is the God who portrays himself as a father running to his prodigal son, as a God who goes after the one lost sheep and leaves the 99 behind. I mean, he loves us. He wants us to be in right relationship with him. And he's not sitting up there just ready to condemn us. Matter of fact, Romans 8:20 says there's no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. But that is so hard to live into.
Love having Dr. Stratton's perspective on the program. He just does such a great job of talking through so many dimensions of our spirituality as we're doing this journey together. So if you want to go to myfaithradio.com, you can catch that entire segment with Gary Stratton. Well, I see we have Dr. David Aikman on the line. I know he's one of your favorites. As listeners, we hear from you often about how much you enjoy his perspective, bringing 20-plus years from his work at Time Magazine covering global affairs. He'll be joining me next on Faith Radio Mornings, and I'll be asking him about some of the headlines that came out this weekend about free abortions in Ireland.
Have you ever been caught in a raging storm? Often it's those sudden downpours that catch us off guard and leave us miserably soaked. Hi, I'm Mark Gregston with Parenting Today's Teens. Anyone who's raised a family has been surprised by the occasional dark clouds or the sudden outburst of emotion. The storm inside the house is often far worse than the rainfall outside the house. So mom, dad, when the tornado strikes, wait it out. Look for ways to be the shelter for your family, a safe harbor in the storm when the winds of adversity blow strong. You can make choices now that will lead your family to safety later. Are you ready to hunker down and survive the storm?
Do you feel like you've come to the end of your rope? Learn how to get your teen back on track with one of Mark Gregston's parenting seminars. For a list of upcoming events, go to parentingtodaysteens.org.
My name is Bond, James Bond.
And of course, that intro means that Dr. David Aikman is joining us from Ireland. And Dr. Aikman, if we ever needed a James Bond, it might be now, given the recent events happening in Syria and Russia, to kind of save us from all of this, right? Dr. Aikman, you on the line? We are missing Dr. Aikman from Ireland right now. I see that his phone number is here and that he's lined up. Maybe we have him now. Dr. Aikman, are you on the line? You are not on the line. Well, I know that there's been some events coming through. We'll get you back on in a second here, Dr. Aikman. But certainly there are some events coming out of Ireland this weekend that had me troubled a bit on this, where I saw, maybe you did too as listeners.
I can hear you. Sorry.
You got, okay, we have Dr. Aikman. Sorry, there are a little technical difficulty getting you from Ireland. Can you hear me now, Dr. Aikman?
I can, yes. It's all very clear.
Wonderful. Well, I was just referencing and going through the story with our listeners that I'm sure you and Ireland are aware of, and that is that their free abortions became official in Ireland, one of not many countries around our world that's going to offer abortions for even all 9 months for free. What was your initial thought? How are you processing this news, Dr. Aikman?
Well, I think, of course, Ireland is divided very much into the pro-abortion, pro-gay rights lobby and traditionalist Catholics and Protestants. And, of course, the Christian community was aghast at the alacrity with which the government embraced the whole abortion regulation, which basically abolished part of the Irish constitution, making abortion illegal. And so this is the next step on, the logical step, that Ireland has adopted a basic national health service, which doesn't normally provide free operations for everybody needing them. But in this case, the government has backed the pro-abortion lobby to make abortions completely free.
Well, and where does it go from here at this point? Because is this going to be settled law for quite some time, pretty difficult to change in the country? Or what would be possible to even change this at this point?
Well, I think it would be very difficult to change without a sea change at the cultural level of how people feel about traditional values, family values, the sanctity of life. And the Irish social and cultural momentum seems to be moving towards a sort of European, multicultural, secular approach to this whole issue. So there's not a Christian lobby in Ireland with anything like the same authority of the Christian lobby in the United States.
Well, and it sure seems like so much of what's going on in the United States around the confirmation process of Judge Brett Kavanaugh has to do with abortion at the heart of it, in terms of people, at least on the Democratic side of it, resisting with every possible tool in the toolbox to see him get appointed to the court, because there's a sense in which he might overturn Roe versus Wade. What is your take on that?
Yes, I think in the same sense that the people who voted for Trump did so for many reasons, but one of them was that he would probably appoint conservative justices, and that if they won, if Hillary won, she would promote liberal justices who would have a continuing approval of abortion and other very secular activities in society. So I think it's, you know, it's a knife edge whether Kavanaugh will get confirmed, but if he is, it would certainly tilt the Supreme Court decisively in a conservative direction.
It's Dr. David Aikman, who joins me Mondays to talk about events in a global perspective. And Dr. Aikman, when our spot was starting, I was referencing the idea that, given your intro, we might actually need a James Bond these days in Syria, given what's happening with the escalation of tensions there and even the Russians supporting him. So give us some updates. I know there's some recent headlines coming out about the ongoing financial support Russia is offering to Syria.
Yes, well, there seems to be, I don't know, some people call it an axis of sort of dictatorships, with Putin's Russia, Rouhani's Iran, Venezuela's Maduro, all clinging together to each other because they feel that the pressures brought against them by the United States in economic terms is forcing them to huddle together to try and resist this pressure. And in addition, you've had a real worsening of the situation of Russia in relation to Israel. The shooting down last week of a Russian aircraft carrying 15 civilians by Syrian anti-aircraft batteries was initially blamed by the Russian defense minister on maneuvering by Israeli jets to sort of force the Syrian air defenses to shoot down the Russian aircraft instead of the Israeli. But in fact, it turns out that the Israeli aircraft were actually already back at their base before the Russian aircraft was shot down. And the problem is that the Russian system, the S-400 anti-aircraft missile system, has serious faults and it was not able to perceive that the aircraft in its sights at the time of the shooting down was a Russian plane. And as a result, the Russians have put up very solid defense walls of air defense batteries over the Mediterranean coast of Lebanon and Syria to make sure that the Israelis cannot come back to attack Iranian or Syrian locations inside Syria.
And what do we see moving forward in this situation? Because as you said, some of these dictatorships seem to be coming together in a bit of unity and to force some of the global issues. And of course, our president came out this last week and said what he has consistently said, which is, hey, I'm the president of the United States. I'm not president of the globe. And so he really is moving against this idea of globalism, which seems to be forcing new alliances to take shape around the globe.
That's right. I mean, the United States is no longer seen as a significant force in any direction in the Middle East by any of the parties. The only party in the Middle East which recognizes and applauds the American position is, of course, Israel, because the Americans recognize Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, which made a great move forward in Israel's attempt to be recognized as a Jewish state by the whole world. But the United States has no forces. It has some special forces inside Syria, but it doesn't have any air bases in the Middle East at this point. So it's not considered a major military component of the Middle East puzzle. And President Trump's position has always been, don't get involved in wars that you can't actually control, and in parts of the world where you don't really have any very specific assets. So I don't think there's going to be any change in the United States position, which will probably lead to a major onslaught against the town of Idlib in Idlib province, which is the last stronghold of opposition to Syrian President Bashar Assad.
It's fascinating to watch how he's hung on to power there despite the use of chemical weapons and the threats from various factions. And obviously the support of Russia has been really meaningful for him. Well, Dr. Aikman, we've got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll shift the conversation over towards Iran, who seem to be putting on a show of military strength, as well as some updates from your neck of the woods around Brexit and what's happening there as we're getting closer to the deadline. So more to come with David Aikman here on Faith Radio Mornings. Welcome back to Faith Radio Mornings. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Kapsner, joined on the line by Dr. David Aikman as we're talking about issues from around the globe. And Dr. Aikman, I'm curious to get your perspective on what's happening out of Iran right now. Obviously, they're giving us a show of military strength. It kind of doesn't seem to matter regardless of the policy of a president. Obviously, Obama was more conciliatory towards Iran, and yet they were showing military strength. And now we have a president in Trump who is more adversarial to Iran, and they have a show of military strength. So it doesn't really seem to matter our policy relative to Iran. They continue to try to exert their influence.
Well, it's very interesting that the attack in Iran that caused the deaths of about 30 Iranian Revolutionary Guards last weekend was conducted in the largely ethnic Arab Iranian province of the city of Ahvaz, and the province is Khuzestan, which is quite close to Iraq. And so the Iranians are very nervous about opposition to their Shiite regime from Sunni separatists and Sunni oppositionists. And I think it shocked them that these people who were able to infiltrate the parade wearing Revolutionary Guard uniforms were able to pull this terrorist action off. And of course, the United States has condemned it as terrorism, because the United States policy is any action by people armed against civilians that takes innocent lives is an act of terrorism. So I think the Iranians are very conscious that these opposition groups, in this case of Sunni Muslims, resisting the Shiite regime, who are taking on the Revolutionary Guard, is the fruit of considerable unrest and displeasure in the population over the economic performance of Iran in the face of the United States sanctions. So I think we're going to see more trouble in Iran in the future.
Well, Dr. Aikman, from your perspective and past experience, too, this is just part and parcel to the situation when there are groups trying to control the way each other think, and it really isn't a free and open society. Are there some lessons we can learn as we're thinking about this in our country? We talk often here on Faith Radio Mornings about having a free and open society where ideas can get battered around and we can really think through these things as opposed to just being under the control of the way one person thinks.
Absolutely. I mean, Iran is nominally a democracy in that there are elections and people stand for elections, but the Supreme Religious Council can determine who or not can stand. And the opposition may put someone up, and the revolutionary, the mullahs at the top of the system may say, no, we won't allow that. So they completely squelch any genuine debate about the future of Iran or its policies.
We have just a couple minutes left here. We can shift the conversation over to situations in your neck of the woods, which is the Brexit that I know we talk about regularly here, about the United Kingdom leaving the European Union. What's the current timeline? What's coming up? And is this happening regardless, Dr. Aikman? It just is a question of whether it's sort of this hard exit or a softer one?
Well, there are 6 months before the date of March 15 when the final exit of the UK from the EU takes place. And there's very little sign of any evidence of EU and British agreement on some fundamental issues. One of them that affects Ireland is the state of the border between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. Right now, there is no border, at least there is no there's no customs or immigration check, so you can freely drive between Northern Ireland and the Irish Republic. That's a system that everybody likes and everybody agrees on, the British, the Irish, and the Northern Irish. But the issue has become complex because Northern Ireland is part of the UK and plans to continue to be, and Ireland is part of the EU. So the EU says, how can we regulate trade relations with the UK if stuff can go back and forth without limitation across the border? So where the border is and how it's managed is a key issue in this debate.
Well, it's going to be fascinating to watch again in the months ahead. We really appreciate your voice and wisdom and perspective each week on Faith Radio Mornings here, Dr. Aikman.
Thank you so much, Peter.
We'll talk to you next week, and we'll take a short break and wrap up our show for today. God of mercy, sweet love of mine. Well, I thought that'd be appropriate music to end the show with here today, just in the troubling headlines of the day and reading through Spurgeon's quote about the idea that there's plenty of anxiety for tomorrow. Let's not sap the strength of today. And remember that as we're doing our days, as with your kids and your grandkids and your friends and your relatives and people even different from you, that we really are part of a kingdom that knows no end. And so we give all of our hallelujah to God. We'll catch you tomorrow morning, every morning, or everybody on Faith Radio Mornings.
Again, thanks for listening to this podcast of Faith Radio Mornings. You can hear other podcasts at myfaithradio.com. Plus, remember, we are listener-supported, so your support makes Faith Radio Mornings and the other programs from Faith Radio possible. Make your gift at myfaithradio.com.